those who haven't been amongst us, we've been doing a series in Ecclesiastes, which on the surface looks a quite miserable, depressing book, but actually there's some real treasure in it, some real hope. I thought because it's the last one, I'll do a very quick recap on just a few basic themes or thoughts in the book, although today's talk is called Remember Your Creator. Right, just so you know, one job of the writer of Ecclesiastes, the teacher, as he's called, is he paints a series of pictures of life in a fallen world. We live in a sad, broken, fallen world. And he's a bit like a rather gloomy art gallery tour guide who takes you around this depressing gallery and he says, well, look, fallen life is like this picture. You know, we all die. And then he says, and he takes you to another painting and he says, and fallen life is like this picture. You know, you can work all your life, you can build up your money, and then you have to leave it to someone else. And he takes you round this gallery and looking at life in a fallen world. That is part of what he does. And he rubs our noses in it. He rubs our noses in what it, the reality of what it's like to live in a fallen world. It's a very honest book, Ecclesiastes. Some Christians love Ecclesiastes. I've had people here say, I really like it because it's so honest. And other people hate it. Because what Ecclesiastes does, it pours a bucket of cold water over the sorts of people that think, well, everything's going to be hunky-dory. Everything's going to be perfect. I'm not going to suffer. God can't allow me to suffer. He loves me. I'm not going to get old and die. God must heal everybody. Now, God does heal people. I've seen healings. But he doesn't heal everyone, and we don't always understand. And what Ecclesiastes does, it chucks a bucket of cold water over certain types of Christian, really, who would be quite triumphalistic. Another theme that runs through the book is that life is like a vapor. You know, a vapor, when you boil your kettle, the steam comes out, and then it's gone. And the word in the Hebrew is hevel, hevel. It basically means a mist or a vapor. And what it really means is that it's fleeting. It's here one moment and then it's gone. And the other meaning of it is that it's hard to sometimes understand as well. You know, when you suffer, you may have faced suffering and you say, well, I can't, why is this happening? It's a bit like a fog, a misty fog. You can't quite understand. And you can't grasp it either. You can't grasp fog, can you? I remember when Tony did a talk here, he sprayed his deodorant all over the room. He said, it's like this. Shh, I haven't brought my deodorant today. It's a bit like my children. When they go to the beach, they build sandcastles. And it's great. They put all this effort in, the big towers and bridges. And but you know the tide's coming. And eventually, the sandcastle gets washed away. And that's a bit like life in a fallen world. So if you only live for this life and only focus on life under the sun, that means in this fallen world, I'm afraid things will end up very much like the mashed up sandcastle. But there is real hope in Ecclesiastes, though, because it's designed to prod us like a stick prodding cattle, a goad, to prod us to think, well, surely there must be more to life than this. Because you see, Ecclesiastes isn't just a depressing guy taking you round an art gallery. He's also a teacher and a preacher. He's got a message for us. And when we listen to what's in this book, we will find being prodded to long for something more. You see, you have been given by God a God-given longing. It says in Ecclesiastes, God has put the desire for eternity in the man's heart. God has put eternity in man's heart. In other words, you want to live forever. You want to be meaningful. You want to be permanent. You don't want to just die. And there's a groaning. I mean, I bet you, some of you in the room today are groaning. Hopefully not because of my talk. But you're groaning because there are things in life that haven't, they're a bit topsy-turvy. You know, Jesus hasn't done the magician trick and pulled the white rabbit out of the hat and fixed it. He hasn't waved his magic wand. Things are not, and you're groaning. This life is not the ultimate life, and you are made for a better world than this. And when people cry out, life is meaningless, life is vapor, life is fleeting, it's really a cry for Jesus Christ. It's a cry for Jesus. And Jesus, although he's not mentioned in this book, he's pointed to as the one who beat death, the one who can bring meaning to your life. So you have a groaning. The book of Romans actually says in the Bible, chapter 8, it says that this creation has been subjected to frustration and we're groaning. But it's been subjected in hope. God wants us to hope for something more. And there is something more in Christ. And if we will listen to this book, it's like words from another world. It's words from heaven. It's God's word. It's not just a depressing collection of images. If you listen to it carefully, God will speak to you through this book. You'll hear God's word through the book of Ecclesiastes. Words from another world. Today's passage that Mike read, I called it Remember Your Creator, but you can summarize it in this way. Look at the bit in yellow. Before it's too late, remember your Creator. And by the way, if you remember your Creator, it will be the key to really enjoying life in this broken, fallen world, when things don't last, when things do wear out, when your body does wear out. If you remember your Creator before it's too late, you will enjoy life. Not all the time, but there will be moments when you can enjoy life if you remember your Creator. What does remember your Creator really mean? It doesn't mean just think of him once a week on a Sunday. Remember your Creator means put God at the center of your life. That's what it means. Put God at the center of your life. The one who made you. You know, he made you. So I think he knows what's best for us. He knows what will be good for us. Put God at the center of your life. That's what remember your Creator means. Say, I'm going to do your will, Lord. What's your will? Okay, let's look at the phrase before it's too late. I have a favourite TV series, Fawlty Towers. It's not politically correct these days, but some of it is extremely funny. And there's one bit where Basil Fawlty is sitting in his office and he goes like this. He goes, whew, what was that? That was your life, mate. He says, do I get another one? And someone says, sorry, that's it. And don't you agree that life is actually fleeting past very quickly? I call it fleeting life, like in those images. But did you know that in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 8, a good translation of the phrase, everything is meaningless, actually in the Hebrew could be translated quite correctly like this. Fleeting. Says the teacher, everything is fleeting. You know, it's all zooming past. The speed of life is quite fast. And part of the teaching of this chapter, he's saying, don't waste the time. Savor the moment. Rejoice in the gifts that God has given you. Revel in life. Relish your life. But put God at the center. You can't see that picture very well, but that is a pendulum of a large clock tower in, I think it's Chester Cathedral, and it's got a poem written on it about the speed of life. You know how time speeds along? Like Basil Fawlty, whoosh, and it's gone. I'm going to read you the poem. It was written by a man called Henry Twells, and there's different versions, but I like this version. Just let me read it. When I was a baby, I wept and slept. Time crept. When I was a boy, I laughed and talked. Time walked. Then I became a fully grown man. Time ran. As I daily older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, whilst I travel on, time gone. O Christ, will you have saved my soul by then? Amen. There you go. I like that poem. Some people think time speeds up the older you get. And I think generally that seems to, you feel that, don't you? Unless you're ill. If you're very ill, if you're a hospital patient, then time will drag. Well, you know, when the nurse wakes you up in the morning, give you a cup of tea at 6, you'll be like, oh, what a drag, you know. But for the majority of people, unless you're ill, time seems to zoom along very, very quickly, especially when you're young. And we're to remember our Creator. Now, this teacher in Ecclesiastes, he's quite old by now, but he's very positive, actually, to young people. in one aspect. He's very positive. He's not an old grumpy man towards young people. He's saying, go for it, enjoy life. You know, he's quite positive. Give some examples from the reading. It says in verse 7 of chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, light is sweet. Light is sweet. What he means is life is sweet, like honey. Go and enjoy life like honey. It's sweet. Light is the light of life. Life is sweet, like honey. Isn't it a joy that when the sun comes in, it's pleasant to be alive and see the sun? Enjoy it, he's saying. And then he says, however many years anyone may live, enjoy them all. Savor them. Enjoy them. Don't wish them away. Have you noticed that young people often want to rush on to the next year? They want to wait for their next birthday. They want to get to their next milestone. I mean, my girls, I hope they can't hear me, but Daniela, if you say to Daniela, how old are you? Do you know what she'll say? She'll say, I'm nearly nine. She won't say, I'm 8 3/4. They want to always look forward, you see. Now, when you get older, like me, you start doing the opposite. If someone says to me, Simon, how old are you? I rarely tell them my age. You know what I do? Because I'm so proud. Well, sorry, I shouldn't be proud. But I say, well, I'm 18 plus a few years experience. You know? And I remember hearing of an interview of a famous American actress. This interviewer said to her, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking? And she said, well, I'm approaching 30. And then he cheekily said, from what direction? Now, so life is fleeting, but you see, I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. Some of you might be too young for it, but 1989, it's called Dead Poets Society with Robin Williams. And in this film, there's a clip where he's teaching these young men to go for it. And he uses a Latin phrase, carpe diem, which means seize the day. And he says to them, seize the day, boys. Live your life, and he says, make your lives extraordinary. And when he does that, he shows them photographs of past students who've all died. And they all, in the photographs, they're all young rugby players. They all look like the people in the classroom. And he said, look, those guys, they look like you do now. They had dreams and ambitions, but now they've all passed away. And he says to his class, seize the day, boys. Go for it. A modern phrase, seize the day, would mean be something like, you only live once. You know, go for it. So the old man is very positive to young people, actually. He's telling them to go for life and enjoy life. Don't waste your life. But he puts a caveat on it. He puts a warning in there for the young people. Because, you know, if you say, for example, like you do in verse 9, if you say, let your heart do, you know, give you joy, follow the ways of your heart. You know, that's what he's been saying. You could think, well, isn't that a bit dangerous? But what he's doing is he's not telling you to follow the path of your heart into wickedness. He's saying you mustn't follow the path down into sin, but you've got to follow the path under God. You see, if you notice in the middle there, it says God will bring you into judgment. So in other words, keep your eye on this creator and say, well, I'm going to live in dependence on my creator. I'm going to look for his well done in what I do because I know God's going to judge things, but I'm still going to go for life. But just don't go for it down the wrong avenue. Don't go for it by sleeping around. Don't go for it by getting into drugs. Don't go for it by taking shortcuts, by stealing. You know, he's saying go for it, but keep your eye on the judge. Because God will bring you into judgment. And he's saying, but you've got to go for it because the days of darkness will come. What are the days of darkness? I think that means the suffering of old age. The days of darkness, the suffering of old age will come. That's what the days of darkness means, I think. And he's saying, look, in the days of your youth, go for it because the suffering of old age will come. But go for it, keep your eye on the judge. And then he says, banish anxiety from your heart. You know, don't try not to worry, because when you get older, you'll have plenty to worry about. You know, when you get older, older people have more cares. They worry about their children. They worry about falling over down the stairs. They worry about, you know, all kinds of things. Young person, try not to worry. And try not to have pain in your body if you can avoid it. Because when you get older, as some of you know, there's pain in your body. But he says this to them, youth and vigor are meaningless. In other words, it won't last, so go for it. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Make the most of the days of your youth, because before you know it, the dawn of life will turn into the dusk of life. He's commanding full enjoyment of life. Okay? But keep your eye on the judge. Don't just try and get things out of life. Bring God into your life. I just want to comment on this phrase, the days of your youth. Because when you're young, you never really think you're going to get old, do you? I mean, when I said to my Rebecca, you know, one day you might be a grandma. She's like, no way. You know, and when some young children look at older people, they think they've always looked like that. You know, if I say to my children, you know, my dad used to have black hair, they go, never. Really? And they think that they're always been like that. And sometimes they look at old people as like they're a different species. This kid said to his granddad, he said, granddad, were you on the ark with Noah? And the granddad said, of course I wasn't. Then the kid went, but then how did you survive not drowning? So he clearly thought he was that old. You know, but young children, they think they've got all the time in the world. You know, like that song, Louis Armstrong, I've got all the time in the world. They think they've got all this time. But the writer is saying, give yourself to God now before that time runs out. There's another reason why we are to remember. I'm talking more to the younger adults first. OK, I've got something encouraging for the older people as well. But you younger adults here, why should you remember your Creator? Why should you put God first in the days of your youth? Well, I'll tell you why. Because if you don't do it now, there's a very slim chance you'll do it when you're older. If you leave it, I'll leave it to my deathbed. There are very few deathbed repentances. When people get older, it's a lot harder to change them, believe you me. I came to the Lord in my 20s. A lot of people I know came to Jesus in their 20s. It can happen when you're really old, but it's rare. I knew a lady called Vera. I think that was her name. Vera. She was 83. She was a chain smoker. Like a train. And she was colourful in her language too. Anyway, somebody witnessed to her about Jesus on the bus. This is back in St. Paul's Crane near Orpington. Anyway, she ended up responding to the Lord, came to faith, got baptized at the age of 83 and became a great witness for the Lord. And it was amazing to meet Vera. She was just wonderful. She's got to be the Lord now. It was wonderful to see someone at that age become a Christian. There are some lies out in the world. The lies of the world say this. The youth is for pleasure, adulthood for business, and old age is just for God. It's not. The youth is for God. There's another lie. This one says this. Let the devil have your prime time and give God the dregs. No, don't do that. So, remember your Creator. He doesn't say remember God. He says remember your Creator. I find that interesting. Why did he use the word Creator? I think it's because it's telling us that you are made by someone for someone. Your life isn't really yours. You were made by someone. You belong to your maker. You've been made. And God is a maker who's given us a maker's instruction book. You know, if you go and buy a new car, you usually get an instruction book with it. Not everyone looks at it. Mike's shaking his head. But, you know, God is your maker. Well, if he's your maker, he's given you a maker's handbook. And it would do you good to not ignore it completely. But to read it. So, to summarise about young people, give God your prime while you are young, before it's too late. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Then you can enjoy life by living thankful, joyful lives of service, pointing to the Creator's goodness. Okay, that's for the young people. Now, for the older ones among us, for those of us who are growing older, we can still love and serve the Lord. Amen. But it will inevitably become harder to enjoy life as our bodies age and as death approaches in this fallen world, which Ecclesiastes is about. You know, gravity is against us. You know, we start to sag, don't we? We are going to die unless Jesus returns in our lifetime. Now, an old person can absolutely love and serve the Lord, but it is going to be harder because your body won't always do what you want it to do. That's why he says, you young people, go for it now. But if you are old, I'm going to encourage you. But first, I have to paint some of the realities of Ecclesiastes. This book is quite real about old age. And we're going to look at some old age things. You won't like it. I hope none of you get too upset. But it's in the Bible, so don't beat Simon up. It's in the Bible. Some descriptions of old age. The body I'm talking about, the physical. Remember your creation, the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. That's the days of old age. And the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. You know, it's harder to find joy and pleasure in life when your body is full of aches and pains. It's harder. And then it says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark. In other words, before your eyesight begins to go. But also, that's an image from the apocalyptic literature. If you bear with me, it's an image, moon and stars going dark is imagery from the Bible when the world is coming to an end. You know, if you read Revelation, you read what Jesus said, it says the sun and the moon will be darkened, the stars will fall. It's Bible language for the end of the world. And what this writer is saying is when you get old, some people feel like it's the end of their world. It's the end of the world for them. And then it says this, this is really depressing. The clouds return after the rain. In other words, you get a rainstorm and then the clouds come back. And what he's describing there is how in old age, you get one problem after another problem, after another problem, after another problem. So, for example, you fall down the stairs, break your hip. Then, you know, your dog dies or something. Then your child gets into trouble and you're worrying about a person in your family. And then a friend of yours down the road dies because they're old. And it's one thing after the other. Clouds come back after the rain. What he's actually describing, I think, is a winter storm in Israel. Because apparently in Israel there were these storms that would come with lots of clouds and rain and it would keep coming back. Okay, have I depressed you? Further description of old age, of the body. And again, it's in the Bible. But I am going to encourage you in a moment. But this is what it says. He describes the body a bit like a big house that starts to fall apart or things start to go wrong. Because our body is a bit like a house. You know, we've got a soul and a spirit in our house. And our body is a bit like a house. But sometimes a house starts to go wrong. And one thing he says is that this imagery of a house, he says the keepers of the house tremble. Like it's your fists that keep you. He says they start to tremble in old age. And then he says the strong men stoop. Now I think that's a picture of your legs. Your legs apparently are the strongest bit of your body. And your legs start to bow. And then he says the grinders cease. I think that's your teeth, your molars, because they are few. You know, you start to lose your teeth. Have I depressed you yet? Don't worry, I'm going to encourage you in a moment, I hope. And it says, you know, those looking through the windows grow dim. I think that's a picture. Your eyesight starts to go when you get into old age. And then people rise up at the sound of a bird. You know, you become a light sleeper. I've noticed as I've got older, I'm a much, much light sleeper. Now, Karina can sleep through a bomb, but she's younger than me, you see. Whereas I wake up to the slightest noise. And when you get older, I think you can become, not everyone, but you become a light sleeper. And then it says, and people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. You know, you become a bit afraid of falling, of tripping over. You know, you've got to be careful. And then the almond tree blossoms. Now, the almond tree in Israel, from a distance, it was white. Our hair goes white. Some of it's beginning on me. And then the grasshopper drags itself along. Now, a grasshopper in its youth is a very agile, bouncy creature. It jumps around, but when it gets old, it's like, oh, I'm dragging myself along. And then it says, desire is no longer stirred. So in other words, I think the Hebrew word there is appetite. Probably to do with food. You lose your appetite as you get older. You can also lose your sexual appetite as well. But appetite. So that all looks rather depressing. And then just to make you even more depressed comes death. But this is what life is like in a fallen world. I mean, this is what Ecclesiastes tells us. It says in the chapter that we read, it says that, remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher or the water jug is shattered at the spring, and the wheel is broken at the well. Then it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. This is a picture of dying. The golden bowl and the silver chain, I want to take, are very precious things. You know, gold and silver are precious, aren't they? What it's saying is life is precious. When someone dies, it's like you smashing a beautiful golden bowl. Apparently, these golden bowls were often lamps. One writer said they were like a lamp. They would have oil in them with a flame. And once it hit the ground, if the chain broke, the lamp would be snuffed out and the oil would spread out and the flame is snuffed out. It's a picture of life being snuffed out in old age. You've also got a picture of a well. Now, the thing about the well, I think, is saying a well is life-giving. It gives water. It gives life-giving water. And then one day it stops. It's no longer able to give water. It's just deserted and abandoned and things are broken. Again, it's a picture of death. And then to crown it all, the dust shall return to the earth and your spirit to God who gave it. But you see, the point is, God is your creator. And this death, it looks like a reversal of creation. I want to tell you that for the writer of Ecclesiastes, he had hope, but he wasn't sure if there was anything beyond this life. He sort of, the Jews weren't always sure. You know, we hoped something will happen. But they didn't know about Jesus coming to rise from the dead. He didn't really have much hope. He just said, do your best to live for God and hope for the best. Well, I can tell you that it's not the same for you people and for me, Christians, all right? I want to encourage you by telling you this. For those of you who are aging and feeling old, you need to remember your Creator too. It's not just the young people, but the old people need to remember the Creator too. Have you realized some encouraging things that your Creator has promised to do for you in your old age? The Creator has things for you in your old age. Can I tell you what they are? Here's just a couple of things. Do you know this scripture? It's in Corinthians. Paul's getting older. And he says, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. You know, though outwardly my body, the hands are starting to tremble, the ears are shutting, the teeth are stopping, grinding. You know, although these things are packing up outwardly, yet inwardly we're being renewed. Day by day. I want to promise you people that the Creator God, if you will have a relationship with God in Jesus, even if your body starts to fail, your soul, your spirit can be renewed. Do you know it says in Scripture, they shall wait on the Lord, and they shall rise. It says their youth shall be renewed. Do you know that Scripture? It says, you wait on the Lord, you'll rise like an eagle, your youth shall be renewed. If you will have a relationship with the Lord, however old and broken down your body might get, your spirit can get stronger and stronger. And I've met people like this. They're old, but they're shining for God. I heard of a story of someone who went to visit an old man. They said to him, how are you doing? The old man said, well, the house I'm living in is pretty wrecked. He said, but inside I'm fine. You can be renewed by your Creator if you will walk with God. That's a glorious promise. Nothing can take that away. Secondly, yes, we're going to die, but remember your Creator will create for you a resurrection body. But it's true. The best is yet to be. The best is yet to be. You will have a new resurrected body. That is the promise of Scripture. Jesus was the first fruit, the first one to rise from the dead. And if you trust in Jesus, you will have a new body. That's good news for some of us. And my last point, in your old age, I want you to really take this to heart, because this is what Anne shared, really, about when she was wondering if God was there. The sun is always there, the sunshine, yeah? Behind the clouds. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 28, he said, and some translations use the word remember, he said, remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I like to put in there, even in your old age. Remember, I am with you always. So even when you go into the days of darkness, even when you go into pain and suffering and old age, your body starts to wear out, you get depressed, isolated. Do you believe what Jesus said? He said, I'm with you always, even in the days of darkness. I hope that encourages you. The book of Ecclesiastes, yes, it can be depressing, but, oh, we've got such a Creator. Remember him in the days of your youth and in the days of old age. And this life isn't the end.